Hi, you're listening to the Raise the Vibe with Liz podcast. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. I interview today's inspirational speakers and healers. Thank you for listening to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raise the Vibe with Liz. I'm your host, Liz Peterson, and today I have Megan Mary joining me on Raise the Vibe with Liz. Megan Mary is a dream worker that specializes in the analysis of women's dreams to promote transformative personal growth and enlightenment. Founder of Women's Dream Analysis and the Women's Dream Enlightenment podcast, she is an intuitive, introvert, mystic, and author. After being diagnosed with three chronic illnesses, she experienced a spiritual awakening. She now works with women all over the world, offering dream interpretation, transformative journeys, and enlightened guidance. She lives in Idaho with her rock star drummer husband and two cats. Megan, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, Liz. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation about dream analysis. It's actually one of my favorite topics. I've had a couple other dream workers on in previous season. So looking forward to jumping in and seeing what your perspective is. But first, I always like to ask my guests, what was your journey up to this work that you're doing today?
Yes, excellent. Well, like so many people, when the journey to spiritual awakening is a journey, right? There isn't a destination point. So it's a continuous evolution. When I was a child, I was very fascinated by dreams. I used to have recurring, wonderful flying dreams, as well as recurring nightmares. And I always wondered what they meant. I had a real sense at that time of connection to the metaphysical realm that I didn't quite understand where it fit in. And as I became an adult, although I kept some of those aspects, I would say a lot of it I disconnected from quite a bit. And it wasn't until I, like you said in the introduction, was diagnosed with several chronic illnesses that I realized it was up to me to do some inner healing that wasn't just going to be the body part, body piece, but also just the spirit and mind aspect as well. And I started meditating several times a day and really had what I call a spiritual awakening or a spiritual remembering, where I felt emphatically called to do the work of dream analysis and spread the word of that as a conduit for spiritual growth.
Awesome. So a lot of people have spiritual awakenings. We have these spiritual awakenings throughout our lifetime until the day we die, like you say. How did dream work play a role in your personal awakening and your healing process?
Yes, for me, dreams are very much the doorway to the universal self. They are our subconscious and everything that we've known through, if you believe in all of our lifetimes. And I really feel that our dreams know so much that we don't consciously know. And when we can learn to integrate that wisdom into our waking life, we stand to gain a huge perspective shift in not only possibly what this reality, the illusion of this reality, but also of the greater possibilities that we have in our existence here. So for me, once I started paying attention to my dreams, I started seeing, okay, a lot of the stories that were being told were really expressing the situation that I was in and the condition that I was in my life, and that I needed to really shift that and really start addressing certain things. And as I did that, my dreams started to change and my dreams started to guide me. And the more I started to follow that guidance, the more they started to guide me. And it was just became this very synergistic and beautiful journey that helped me heal, not just the physical symptoms that I was having, but perhaps the metaphysical condition that had caused those physical symptoms.
Nice. So you've actually developed a process yourself on sort of dissecting your dreams and really diving into them. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yes. So I have a method that I call the dream mirror method.
Okay.
And it's four steps, really. It's very simple. And it's basically memory, mood, mirror, and metaphor. And so the first step is just memory. I just ask you to start recording your dreams. Keep a dream journal and write down as much detail as you can when you first wake up. And also for the title, give your dream a title as if it were a story. What would you name it in just a couple words? Because that's really going to give you an indication of the overarching theme of the dream. The second step is mood, and that's where I ask you to write down before you go to sleep, as well as once you wake up, what your mood is, what the emotions are. What did you experience in the dream? How did that, what emotions did that bring up? And then maybe you felt slightly different when you woke up. So what was that? And the third step is mirror, and that's where we look at all of the different landscapes, places, people, situations, actions, all the things that are happening in the dream that make it unique to you. So we might all say, well, I had a dream last night that I was being chased. Yeah, so did I. Oh, but mine had to do with the neighborhood I used to live in. Oh, mine was where I used to work. And everybody's really, it's different. And so there might be an overarching theme, but everything about it besides that is unique to your life experience. And so I kind of serve as a mirror, essentially. I ask a series of questions that draw out those things from your subconscious, because sometimes even when you think you've created quite a good dream record, when we start talking, many times my clients will say, oh, well, I didn't tell you this part, but it's actually this. And it actually reminds me of this. And so the more you start to talk about it, the more you draw that out. And the last stage is metaphor. And that's where we look at the story of your dream as a metaphor for your waking life. So where is there similarity? Where is there symbolism? Where is there difference? And what does that story tell us? What can we learn from that story? And really, by going through those four steps, I feel that that is the most authentic way to gain the true meaning of each person's dream, because their dreams are so unique that the process allows their uniqueness to come through in the analysis.
There's so many dream books out there for interpretation. We can go on Google and, you know, any search engine, and like, we go, what does this mean in our dreams? And they're great indicators to kind of give us a direction. But I like how you empower women and people to really look at what is that saying to you in that specific dream, because it isn't the same for everybody.
Correct. And that's part of the reason that I very much discourage dream dictionary approaches, because although they are more accessible a little bit and people just want a quick fix, right? They just look up one thing. You have to pick by the letter, right? You have to pick, oh, it was an owl, it was a snake. You have to, you know, separate each thing. And then you're trying to get what that meaning is. But what is that but a combination of all historical, anthropological, mythological, cultural representations, right? And yeah, there might be this continuum when it comes to that, but it really varies. It really depends. And so I feel like that leads you away from what the meaning is truly for you.
Nice. How do we figure out what is the theme of our dream? Because they can be so bizarre sometimes, or so sporadic, like going from one scene to the next.
And although, even though they're not linear, many times you'll have about 3 to 5 dreams a night, whether you remember them or not. And many times when you write them down, you'll notice that as disparate as they were, as nonlinear as they were, that there was actually a repeating theme in those dreams, because your subconscious is going to try and take a whole bunch of different puzzle pieces and rearrange them again until you start to see what that is. And when you don't see what that is, that's where recurring dreams come from, because it's going to continually going to try to express something to you that really could have value in your waking life and your trajectory. And until that message gets through, it's going to continue to try and send it.
Wow. It's funny that you said got reoccurring dreams. Like, we all have them, right? But what about those reoccurring dreams that happen like since childhood and we're still experiencing them into our 30s, 40s, and 50s? What do you say about those?
I think that you have to look at, again, the individual. So is this a traumatic event that's replaying in the subconscious, or is this just a dream story that is telling you something? Because there are a lot of different types of dreams, but the general theme is that if you're having a recurring dream, again, it's because there is something that you needs to work on in your subconscious. Now, it could be something that needs resolution or healing, or it could be that this is a suggestion, an innovation, an opportunity. So it's not always bad, but it is something that your all-knowing self is saying, hey, listen to me, listen to this. There's something here and this can help you.
Nice. That is true. You know, I look back at the dreams that I've had, and there was one reoccurring dream that I had throughout my life. And it was where I repeatedly like didn't stand up for myself. I was being attacked in the dream or drug in the dream or something like that. And I noticed that once I started standing up for myself in life, that those dreams slowly disappeared.
Definitely. Definitely. And that is one of the most common experiences that is true when it comes to recurring dreams, because once you address that, once you change that in your waking life, you're no longer going to have the remnants of that in your subconscious, because you've moved on from it. You've healed it. You've integrated that knowledge. And so many times those dreams do cease once that's addressed.
Nice. You brought up subconscious, and our dreams do come from our subconscious. So how can we like set ourselves up for success when in our dream life, and really, you know, ask the right questions, or, you know, do things that can prompt certain dreams to happen so we can go into a space of self-discovery?
Yes. So really, there are a lot of different ways that you can manifest a dream. Okay. And journaling is one of them. So if you're keeping your regular dream journal, when you wake up in the morning, you can also be writing in it before you go to bed. And you can write in there questions that you have for your subconscious. And your subconscious is always working. So it's going to, that's why they say sleep on it. That's where the phrase comes from, because your brain is still going to be processing that and working on that in the background. 95% of our brain is subconscious and only 5% is conscious. So think of the possibilities of the rest of the iceberg that we're not aware of. And many times those things we are not aware of are really informing the foundations of how we perceive our world, what we assume to be true, the way that we interact with those around us, our expectations about the way the world is. All of those things come from our subconscious, which is really formed when we're a child. So that is a great area to start when you want to achieve self-discovery and have there be personal growth, because that's where the true you is. It's not outside you somewhere. And there's so much in there that we don't pay attention to, that we don't tap into, so much potential. And a lot of people get scared and shy away from it because they think, oh, that's my deep, dark shadow. I don't want to go there. Why would anybody? But look at it as potential. Look at it as really your inner world, your introspection, an opportunity for healing as well as expansion.
Ooh, I like that expansion. And we're all expanding throughout our lives, right? And one of the ways we can do that is shadow work, like you were saying. And shadow work is a big buzzword. You know, it's been around for decades. Now I even, you know, learned about it when I was in my 4-year, you know, healing school in my early 30s. So let's talk about shadow work and the role that can play in self-discovery and transformation through working with our dreams.
Absolutely. So shadow work, of course, is, I think, one of the keys to unearthing all that is in our subconscious and in our shadow, hidden from our conscious, is really what I would refer to as the penultimate of that shadow. And many times when we have nightmares, for example, that's really an opportunity to do that shadow work, because you are going to analyze that story. And in that story, there's going to be some really high charged emotions. And in order to heal from those emotions and transform them into something else and move beyond that stuck situation of fear, we have to look at what is causing that. What is causing that scenario to play out in the dream? And so it is a great opportunity for healing and for really that revealing, bringing the light into that darkness, because we all have darkness and that's okay. We don't want to diminish that. We don't want to wipe it away. We want to honor it, but it also is one of those really important aspects of any sort of self-help or personal work.
Right on. That's awesome. So we're looking at mood, you were saying, in the next step. So setting up, like, what was our mood before we went to sleep? And then does that too carry to, like, what was the mood of the dream? And was my mood before I went to sleep part of my dream?
Yes. And your mood, of course, will change throughout the dream because the dream is fluid and it can be different connected scenes where your mood is completely changing. And that's okay. Just try to, when you can, take note of, well, this situation was playing out. Okay. Oh yeah. I should write down, you know, how I felt then, because if you don't, you're going to miss that piece, because the emotions are a very volatile aspect of our dreams, because when we're sleeping, a lot of our brain is turned off, but the emotional part of our brain, the portion of our brain that dictates our emotions, is turned on, and it is in the same state as if you're awake. So that's why you experience dreams as so real, and why you can't decipher that they're not real unless you're lucid dreaming until you wake up. And sometimes you'll even get that dream hangover where those emotions stick with you as if that had happened to you, because your brain processed it like it did. And so that's why it's important to take note of that, because subconsciously and consciously, you're experiencing those emotions. Whether it happened on another plane of existence or not, it still needs to be, I don't want to say addressed, but appreciated.
Yeah, some of those dreams can be intense too. I know mine can be so vivid and so real that I can end up carrying the emotions from that dream, you know, for an hour or so, sometimes longer.
Yes.
Where I'm really feeling like I'm being nagged to figure out what the dream meant, because it had such a profound effect on my day. What would you say to people like me who have experienced that, and what can we do to work with that emotion that kind of carries over into our day?
Yes. So of course, the first step is writing it down, because when you start to write it down, you have to draw it from your subconscious to your conscious. You have to start putting words and names and assignments to things that are only ethereal in your conception. And when you start to do that, you really start to pull those threads through. But keep in mind that when you have that lingering emotion, what is emotion but energy in motion? So it's energy that you're holding from that dream. And so in order to get past that, you have to change out the energy. So you have to do some energy work, however that works for you and whatever modality you use. And the one that I like the most for the dream work that I do is sound healing. So what I'll do is assign a frequency of music. I use the solfeggio frequencies in my work, and I'll assign a frequency to someone based on what their dream is about so that they can listen to that and without much efforting, change the level of their vibration, which changes their energy level, which changes their frequency. And in doing that, it allows that energy, that remnant energy from the dream, to transmute into a different level of energy. And I integrate that with, I call it dream integration, really. And it's the process at the end of decoding the dream so that you're not just saying, well, I know what that's about. And yeah, that makes sense. But now I'm upset. Now what do I do? So we do that process of integration. And in that process, I also include affirmations, journal prompts, and meditation. Sometimes I combine them all into a very customized program where you might have a meditation that walks you through a visualization of the dream, but gives you affirmations and has frequency music playing in the back. And that's, you know, that's part of what I do so that it really helps you take that and move forward.
I love that and work with those frequencies too in my life. And they really can shift the mood. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I often use them for sleep too.
Yes.
Or during meditation. Yeah. It's great that you've integrated that into your work. That's fun. It's a nice little bonus piece. So going from that, like setting our mood, and you also talked about a few minutes ago, lucid dreaming. So how do you work with your clients to weave in the lucid dreaming aspect, if they're experiencing it, if they're not, if they want to, and how has that affected your life? Have you experienced it?
Oh, I have, absolutely. So one of the first books that I bought on dreaming was Stephen LaBerge's Lucid Dreaming. And that was really what I was just all in from the moment I got that book. I thought, this is the most fascinating thing I've ever discovered, and I want to figure out how to do it. And I was able to do it. And I thought, there's so much more to this than people are talking about. And clearly it was important enough to have a lot of money put into scientific sleep labs and dream studies and things, but it still never really crossed into the mainstream to the point that people are appreciating it and talking about it regularly. So to me, lucid dreaming has so many healing potential aspects, because particularly when you're coming over nightmares, for example, because if you're experiencing a traumatic dream or a dream that's leaving you with that energetic feeling, you can use lucid dreaming and the techniques of lucid dreaming to re-enter that dream and create an alternate ending, which is another way of transmuting that experience. And it allows you the agency and the confidence to really change the direction. And when you realize that that's possible in your dreams, then you also realize it's possible in your life. So again, that synergy and that growth that is gained by that level of awareness. I have several techniques that I try to lead my clients through in terms of ways that you can learn to lucid dream. And a lot of it has to do with starting to question your reality, as unusual as that sounds, because the more you question what's around you and the illusion of this reality, the more you are, I don't want to say susceptible, but open to recognizing the reality of the dreamscape.
I like that. I also like how you said the more you work with your dreams, the more it affects your outer life as well. And I think that that's so true. I think that's a nugget of gold just right there in the healing process, to encourage people to start working with their dreams, because it is really profound. I also, you know, want to kind of circle back around to how not only how it affects our waking life, but then being able to go back into a dream. I experienced that was about a week or two ago where I was enjoying a dream. I wake up at that 3:30 time that I like to wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, okay, I like that dream. I want to go back into that dream. And yes, being able to go back into the dream. So people who want to experience that, do you have any recommendations for them?
Well, what you just did is actually one of the methods. It's called the wake back to bed method, basically. And that's where you purposely wake up at that time, because that early morning hour time is actually where the lucid dreaming takes place the most, and where we are most capable of doing that. And so that technique where you actually purposely wake yourself up, or just kind of wake up not on purpose, is really one of the techniques that people teach in terms of being able to consciously re-enter or just enter into that lucidity state.
Gotcha. Now, we also have different players in our dreams and different environments, as you spoke about in the mirror phase of kind of deciphering your dreams. Like, what are some ways that we can decipher for ourselves what environment means and what people mean in our dreams?
Mm-hmm. So I like to really have everyone write down first the landscape. So where are you? Where is this happening? Does it look like a place you know? If it does it look just like that place? Or is there something different about it? And if so, what is different about it? If it's a place you've never been, what does it remind you of? What did it seem like? Where did it seem like you were? And then for the people, this can be really interesting, because a lot of times there'll be repeat players, people that are always there. But then other times there'll be people that you've never seen in your life. You don't know who these people are. And so for people, what I like to do is take a metaphorical lens to it and say, okay, for each person that played a role in your dream, if you knew this person, if you could describe them in three adjectives, how would you describe them? And I don't mean how they look, but behaviorally or worldview-wise or personality-wise, how would you describe them? Because many times their presence in the dream can be suggesting something about yourself. They can be aspects of yourself. And that goes for famous people as well. So yeah, I don't know them, but I know who it was. It was this actor, or it was this musician, or it was this famous person. And if, even though you don't know them, you have a perception of them in your mind, whether you like them or not, what your opinion is of that person and how you think they are is just as important in the scenario. It doesn't have to be factual. It just has to be your association. So that's really one way to decipher the people and the places. And then I also like to do a little bit of elemental work. So I like to look at air, fire, and water and the presence of those elements in the dream. So for water, for example, it could be as simple as it could be a puddle to the ocean. It could be that it's raining or that you're in a bathtub. There could be a lot of different ways that water can be represented. Even fog or mist is a little bit of water. And so all of those elements have their own symbolism. And so we look at that and then look at the actions. So, okay, you were in this place, there was this person there. What was the action? What was happening? And really delving into how that can be symbolic. Because a lot of times when you start explaining it, when you have to explain it, sometimes, especially if you have to explain it out loud, you'll go, oh, okay, I see now how that is a wordplay, for example, or it's a very clever, you know, way of talking about something else. So you're washing the windows. Okay. You know, well, what are windows? You know, and kind of ask yourself, like, for every object, what role does this play? What is this object for? How could washing the windows be a metaphor so that you can see more clearly, for example? And so it's that kind of analysis that really can take it from the literal to the symbolic, and then into the realm of really your personal metaphysics.
Oh, I love that. I was doing that last week. I had a really profound, vivid dream and just left me stumped. So I just spent like an hour or so kind of going through like what the possibilities could be. And it was so stressful in the end. And in the end, there was my cell phone and I couldn't open it. So, and I had to look at it like, okay, what does the phone represent in my dream? All right, connection. So not feeling connected to the people that I was trying to reach or wanted to reach in my dream is how I deciphered it. I also saw, you know, really fun that I have this interview going on when I just saw on Facebook, a friend of mine's like, I just had this dream about a tidal wave, like, and put out to everybody, like, have you guys dreamt about tidal waves and what does that mean? And I know myself going through a traumatic event 6 years ago, dreamt about tidal waves. What would you say, you know, to our friends out there who are having those kind of dreams?
Yes. So I'll talk about the phone one first. I love both of those examples. So again, without me saying, oh, well, a phone is all about communication. So it's always about communication. For you, it's about connection. For another person, it could be identity, because our phones aren't just for calling people anymore. Our life is in there, right?
Okay.
And everything about ourselves is in there. So it can represent from simply the connection to the communication to our identity itself. So it really depends on, well, I don't really have a cell phone, or I leave my phone off. I'll leave the house and I don't care about it. Or I'd panic if I don't know where it was for a second, even in my house. I mean, that your experience with that is going to predict what that dream is about. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, with the big wave dream, I actually just did a dream interpretation on my podcast. And one of my guests, and she named her dream the big wave. And it is a recurring dream about the giant wave. And so all the different, what's interesting when you analyze a recurring dream is that you can look at all the different versions of it. And okay, here it's that dream again, but how is it different this time? And what happens different from the last time? And how are they all the same? And that was, you know, a really interesting experience to be able to look at this dream from a lot of different perspectives, because it would happen at different times in her life where there were major shifts, major changes coming in her life. And so each iteration of it was slightly different. But when we talk about the elemental aspect, water, you know, traditionally can be emotions. And so if we're drowning in the ocean and we're being taken over by waves, you can see that that could easily be the metaphor of being overtaken by your emotions. And many times that is the case. But what else happens in the dream? Are you rescuing someone else? Does someone rescue you? Do you make it to land? You know, do you succumb to it? Do you swim? Are you fighting? Are you giving in? What's your emotions? You know, are you feeling terrified? Are you feeling at peace? So all of those things, yes, it can be a common dream, just like with a phone, but what are the smaller details?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great thing to point out, Megan. Yeah. And for my dream, oh, it was such a relief when the tidal wave started going over, when I was under the water completely and just watching the tidal wave go over me.
Mm.
Yes. I am just allowing these emotions to just go over me with no harm. That was a pivotal part of my healing journey for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm curious about, I want to go back to the environments too, because a lot of people have those dreams, like that stress dream at work, or they're always dreaming of their childhood home. What would you say to them?
Yes. So again, the setting. So if you are having a scenario where you're in your childhood home, it's very likely that this conflict or this emotion originates in that place. If you're having the dream in the setting at work, it could very well have to do with either the challenges that you're presented with at that in that place, or the people that you're that surround you in that place, or just really something beyond that. You know, it's what is the scenario? So it might not be about work, is what I'm saying, because it could just be that, because you might, for example, be having an interpersonal conflict with a friend, and you have a dream about your old workplace, and your friend is there. Okay, well, tell me about your old workplace. Oh, well, everybody was really backstabbing, and you know, we never got along, and I hated being there. Okay, so what happened with the friend? You know, and so it could be that they're just present, I don't say they, but that your subconscious or your higher self or your spirit guides are is presenting a situation to portray something to help you see how it applies. And so it's going to show you, okay, remember that situation and how you felt then because this happened? Well, that's happening again in this situation.
Interesting. Great explanation. And then how do we dive in and find the metaphor? Can you give some examples to our audience of some things that can happen in a dream and how you pull out the metaphor?
So I really look at the story overall. So if you have a dream that you are being overwhelmed by a giant wave, for example, that doesn't mean that you need to be cautious when you go to the beach the next day, that you need to worry about drowning. It's more, what in your life are you feeling overwhelmed by? Is there something that you're kind of ignoring and saying, I got it, no, it's fine, I can handle all this, but that is really taxing you subconsciously to the point that your subconscious is going, no, I need a life preserver. And so many times we will try and shove things down, or we'll try and deny things, or we'll ignore things. And our subconscious will try and just gently go, hey, no, you're not listening. And so that's where taking these pieces, but not, yeah, we want to look at them separately, but we want to look at them as a whole as well. It's a holistic view. It's not just, like I said before, looking up the animal in the dictionary. Okay, because there was a dog there. What does dog mean? No, we want to look at the whole scenario of how everything was interacting. If it was a little movie and you were watching it, what would that help explain is happening in your life that what would happen if you acknowledge that?
Nice. I want to take a second, Megan, to just break and do a little energetic check-in for us and our audience, because this conversation that we're having is so high frequency. I've been completely tapped in above the whole entire time we're having this conversation, having to focus on staying grounded. You're very ethereal. So the transmission that our guests are receiving, guys, I really want you to like focus in on this energy, everybody who's listening, and really allow yourself to receive this transmission, because we really are, Megan and myself, channeling through. It is a complete connection above that's going on right now. So I just want to bring everybody's awareness to that. I'm finding it really exciting and fascinating that that's going on. And I'm really enjoying our conversation, Megan. All right. Back, are you feeling that, Megan, before I
yes,
jump back
and thank
question?
You for saying that. Yes. I really appreciate you saying that, actually.
Yeah. Thank you. And I also want to say, you know, that working in the dream realm is that ethereal part of that ethereal realm can go into those astral realms. So let's talk a little bit about the astral realm, you know, seeing our loved ones in spirit in our dreams, and how we can kind of cross the barriers of this three-dimensional reality into other realities and dimensions through our dreams.
Absolutely. I love that question. Yes. I strongly feel that the dream world is the doorway to the spirit world. And it's not that the spirits aren't here around us all the time anyway, but in the dream world, they can access us so much easier. We can access them. And because we are in spirit form, right? So there is no time and space. It's beyond that. And it allows for 5D and higher existences, experiences. And so I have, and many of my clients have had, profound visitation dreams, which I truly believe are such. I don't think it's just wishful thinking or your attempt to heal yourself. Yes, that's true. But I really believe that we are spirits first and foremost, and that this existence is just a temporary bodily existence. And that when we sleep, we go back to that spiritual existence. And so for me, that's part of the wonder and the mystical aspect of dreams, is that there's so much more to them than just, oh, it's, you know, it's silly, or it's mundane, or it doesn't mean anything, or it's nonsensical. I really feel like there's a possibility, although I'm not proven, that there's alternative realities, that there's alternative timelines, that there's different planes and levels of existence that we go to when we dream. And so think of all the possibilities of that. When you embrace that, when you recognize and appreciate that and start tapping into that.
And how can we use that connection to maybe stop ourselves and say, hey, oh, my mom is in my dream. I'm going to stop looking at whatever I'm looking at in my dream and talk to my mom, who's, you know, present and having a dream visitation. Or maybe, you know, we see a past relative. Maybe we can get some healing around that experience with them. What would you recommend to our listeners and your clients?
I've found that there, and most people agree, that visitation dreams are different, and that you can tell the difference between, I was at the store and I was with my dad and I don't know, we were just shopping, and, you know, he appears there and he has a message for you. It's very different. And you can almost tell when you're getting those very specific guidance things, and the others where they're just, I don't want to say they're circumstantial, because there is something to them, but it's a little bit less of a direct communication. And unless you're lucid dreaming, you're not going to be able to make a decision about, I should talk to them, or I should ask them this, or whatever. If you are lucid, then you can, of course. But if you're not, it's really going to play out however the dream story is going to play out. And so in the morning, you can reflect upon it and think about, you know, in that situation, when it's a visitation dream, that's where I don't so much go with the, what does that person represent? Because I feel like it's actually them returning in the physical form that you remember to deliver a message.
Yeah. And I love those dreams. My mom passed away a couple of years ago, coming up on her anniversary as we're doing this recording. And a couple I've had just recently, you know, I'm in the dream and then I close the door, but the door is a glass door. It turns into a glass door. And then all of a sudden she's right there. So able to interact with her in the dream that way. There was another where I'm sitting at the table with my mother and I'm doing something. And then in the dream, I go, Liz, you're sitting in front of your mom. Stop what you're doing and have a conversation with her. So I was able to have a conversation, which was really great. Oh, and nice. Then one just recently where I'm having that, you know, stress dream that I used to be a waitress years ago. And so I'm in the restaurant and stressing out and she calls. And my mom used to call, you know, us all the time, us girls. And, you know, just hearing her on the phone telling me she's super excited. These are the people that she's met. These are the things that she's doing. It was really fantastic to be able to make that connection. So everybody, absolutely, if you're having your loved one show up in your dreams, like, pay attention, you know, try if, you know, if your mom or dad or loved one is sitting across from you, try to, you know, bring awareness into the dream. Be like, hey, You know, take this opportunity to talk to your loved one right now. Really is a beautiful experience. I'm glad we got the opportunity to talk about it.
Agreed. It's beautiful.
Awesome. What are other ways that you help your clients, Megan, in their transformational journey through dream work as we're wrapping up today's show?
Part of what I do is really, I call it transformational spiritual guidance, because it's not just come to me and I'll tell you what your dream means or I'll help you figure it out, but it's more, how do you want to get to that next stage of spiritual intelligence? How do you want to raise your existence to a level that you realize is possible, but you don't know how to get there? And part of that work also involves a lot of metaphysical recognition in terms of synchronicities and signs and messages. And those can happen in your waking life, not just your dream life. And so it's a whole transformation, really, when you start to awaken your clair senses and you start to tap into your own intuition. When you open yourself up to that, then sometimes there's a flood of information that can be quite overwhelming, although fantastical. But you have to be willing to do that work. And so I think the biggest thing that I want to communicate is that it's not just, getting a tarot reading. It's much bigger than that, because it's the inner work that can evolve your soul that I feel is what we're here and called to do.
Oh, I love that you pointed that out, because I think that too, Megan. I love keeping a dream journal. I love the dream work that I do. I tell all of the people in my psychic and mediumistic development circles to, start following their dreams, keep a dream journal. It really does lead to your intuition and helps you develop a closer relationship with that inner voice and guidance within yourself. That is a really powerful tool. I agree.
Yes. And I encourage anyone who's doing light work, really, to consider dream work as a modality, complementary modality to whatever they're already doing, because it is another way to get at that work that we're all trying to do.
What else would you recommend to our listeners, Megan, that you recommend to people that you work with?
I think dream appreciation is one of the first pieces, really, because so many people don't understand why we have them. And it's not that we don't know why, but to appreciate them, to give them the space and the importance in your life, and to create space to understand them, because it's really an open letter, right? As the saying goes, and it's really there for you. So if you're seeking, why not start there?
Nice. Megan, how can people work with you, and what do you have to offer?
Yeah, so my website is womensdreamanalysis.com. And on there, you can book time with me. I have anywhere from single sessions, four group sessions that I call journeys. And I also have a 90-day program where you can take advantage of really going through that spiritual transformation and also take advantage of that very customized meditation sound frequency healing that I talked about earlier. I also have online courses on there as well. And on my podcast, which is Women's Dream Enlightenment. And that's on every major podcast channel. Come see me on YouTube and Pinterest and LinkedIn and Twitter. So that's where I'm at.
Nice. You're also working on publishing a novel.
Oh, yes. So I am going to be publishing my first novel this fall. And of course, the whole conception came to me in a dream, as so many wonderful creative pieces of art do. And it is a metaphysical mystery, really, of a woman's journey to self-discovery, but it's placed at my favorite time of year, which is Halloween. And so it really has that spooky, mystical element. And of course, there's spirit cats, and she's really unraveling a mystery that leads her to discover so much about herself and her family legacy that I'm really excited to share that with the world and looking forward to its release.
That's exciting. Congratulations, Megan. Sounds
Thank you.
wonderful. Nice. Looking forward to reading it. Thank you so much for being a part of Raise the Vibe with Liz, Megan. Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate you and this conversation that we've been able to have today.
It was wonderful being here. Thank you so much for the rich conversation.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for joining us. And for those who don't know, I have my new book out, Sex Magic. So check that out. It's all about manifesting the life of your dreams while using your life force energy. And we are this month, it is the anniversary of my first book, my memoir of death, grief, and afterlife communication with my mom called Mom Died Last Night, My Shared Death Experience. So if you haven't checked that out, go ahead and check that out and jump on my newsletter because I have a couple things coming up next month. I have my Sex Magic Workshop, which is going to be a lot of fun, and my mediumistic development, my mediumship development circle is going to be starting in March as well. So check that out. And you can find everything on social media and my website at Raise the Vibe with Liz. So thank you everyone for joining me. Thank you again, Megan. And remember everybody to get out there and raise the vibe. Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for listening to today's show on Raise the Vibe with Liz. If you like this content and want to support me, please go to Patreon at Raise the Vibe with Liz or click the link in the description of this show. And remember, change starts with you. So get out there and raise the vibe. Thank you, everyone.